bill authorizing the extension this morning. The prospect of a government shutdown was looming before lawmakers approved the so-called stopgap spending bill yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics, and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics sells for $49 in stores. But call right now because we're letting as many men as possible try Prostagenics with our free bottle offer. So call 1-800-550-4512 right now. That's 1-800-550-4512. Call 1-800-550-4512.
Protests continue in the Middle East today over President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. NBC's Aman Mialdin is in the Old City today, where tensions are extremely high.
We're hearing from some of the senior members of the PLO, for example, who have said recently that Vice President Mike Pence is not welcome to Palestine, and they've called on the Palestinian president not to meet with the vice president as he makes his way through the Middle East following this decision.
He said there were some clashes between Palestinians and Israeli forces in Jerusalem's Old City after Friday prayers, but no major violence has erupted.
There were protests, and it actually got a little bit dicey inside the Old City at one point with the police really trying to break up the protesters from gathering any kind of momentum.
President Trump is declaring a state of emergency in California as wildfires continue to rage. Today, the president ordered federal assistance to aid state and local responses to the wildfires. Thousands of homeowners have been evacuated as flames have scorched more than 200,000 acres of land. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Former Phoenix Sheriff Joe Arpaio is strongly considering running for Senate in 2018. He told ABC News about his plans yesterday. Arpaio said he has not spoken to the president about his possible run, but added if he runs, he's running for him. The former sheriff of Maricopa County admits to meeting with former White House strategist Steve Bannon in the last month. Arpaio was an early supporter of Donald Trump during his campaign. The president pardoned Arpaio after he was found guilty of criminal contempt charges in a racial profiling case. SantaCon is stumbling to town. The annual march of drunken Santas will take over the East Village of Midtown Manhattan this weekend, and Peter the bartender is bracing for it.
We'll take the money, but we definitely don't appreciate all the extra things that come with it. So, yeah, SantaCon is bad, but it's good to help me pay rent.
The annual holiday bash that began in 1997 has infuriated locals who have complained over the years of indecent behavior, vandalism, and Santa brawls. Eddie, who owns New York City Deli, says the Santas help his bottom line.
They go crazy a little bit. But they're nice people. That's okay. They spend a lot of money.
But Peter, who's a Midtown bartender, says SantaCon is a disaster waiting to happen.
Groups of people combined with alcohol. So that is there's a certain outcome that's always going to be a result of that.
Recapping our top story, President Trump has signed an emergency measure in California as the Thomas Fire is continuing to grow and displace more residents in Southern California's Ventura County. Six large wildfires have scorched over 160,000 acres in the state this week. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We have with us today Brian Kilmeade. He is the co-host of Fox and Friends on Fox News and the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. Brian Kilmeade, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So the Battle of New Orleans, which this book discusses in depth, was part of the War of 1812 between the United States and Great Britain. So tell us a little bit about this conflict between the U.S. and the U.K., which was not, in this case, based on the president's tweets.
I mean, our whole history is a country that never should have happened, that never should have survived. And this was another example of that. I mean, we find a way to be the world's only superpower once, and we did it with the help of France. And since that time, the British wanted to send a message to all their other colonies, don't try what they did, and we want revenge, you won't get revenge. And it really came to fruition in 1812. We asked for the war, but we really had no choice. They were taking our guys off ships, taking our merchant boats off ships. They never really abided by the treaty that ended the Revolutionary War. They stayed in the Midwest. Kept on rattling settlers by paying off these Native American Indian tribes. So there was a war waiting to happen. But when America stepped up, they found themselves overmatched in every way, on the seas and on land. And we were getting routed. Until things turned around in the Battle of Baltimore and Andrew Jackson got involved, thanks to the future President James Monroe and the current President James Madison. And you just had a guy who was orphaned at 13, born in America, bled red, white, and blue, hated the British. And he wanted revenge. They killed both his brothers. They both died during the war. And his mom died during the war. He blamed the British for that. And he wanted revenge. And this was his opportunity. But no one thought Andrew Jackson really was much. He never had formal military training. Never really was one of the establishment. But when he got involved, he was a motivator of men. When he got involved, he was a leader, willing to take on the fight in front. And he won a series of battles. But with 1,400 guys taking on 10,000 in New Orleans, no one gave him a shot. But in 3 weeks, he put together a very diverse army of free blacks at the time, of pirates, sharpshooters from Tennessee and Kentucky, and regular militia, kept 5,000 guys, and he destroyed a 10,000-man army in under an hour. And that's what we try to detail in the book, the strategy he used and the way he did it.
That's amazing that he would succeed under those odds, which were clearly against him, fighting what was the premier military power in the world. Now this was also the war in which both Washington, D.C. was burned by the British, and the one in which the British bombarded Fort McHenry and inspired the writing of the words to the national anthem.
100%. And you're looking at a country that was absolutely on the brink. And what they did is what we always do. When we were divided, the northern states didn't want to participate in the war. But once they burned Washington and we saw how completely we were being destroyed, America, including Francis Scott Key, who was against the war, rallied. They said, okay, enough. Put everything aside. We got to fight. And the spirit of 76 came back. And you watch a country wake up and start fighting and adjusting. And the British never adjusted. They fought the same way where they beat Napoleon as they did when they tried to beat us. And we were relentless. We had nowhere to go. The British had a long way to go. A lot of them wanted to be home. And we won at Horseshoe Bend, won in Pensacola, won in Mobile. All of a sudden, things started to change. And in New Orleans, by the time they showed up, they expected to go right through our militia because they had this huge force. But we didn't give them one. Jackson didn't give them one peaceful night in our soil. The first day they landed, as soon as night fell, a barge ship started shooting cannons into their encampment, and Jackson's men came flying down the hill with axes and started chopping up the British, 500 of them. And they said, wait a second, we were going through these guys like paper mache. What happened? Well, Jackson happened. And Jackson had no choice. He's going to die, win or die trying. He told people in New Orleans, I don't care what your loyalties are. You're an American now. And if, by the way, if you think that we're going to let the British get this city, we'll burn it down first. So I need everybody who can fight with a gun to report to duty. And he rallied, he drilled, he had parades, and in 3 weeks we were ready to go. And he had a great plan, build a mini wall, redig a canal that was there, the Rodriguez Canal, fill it up with water, and then challenge them to go past us and build a berm behind in case they did penetrate that. The British were never able to figure it out, killed two generals, seven colonels, and 70-plus officers rapidly. And the British infantry basically decided we're going to be dead or play dead, and they had to surrender. And even though the war had officially ended earlier, right before Christmas, word didn't get, you know, there was no Twitter. I know the president would have really suffered then. So there's no way to tell anybody. So Jackson thought they were going to beat him regardless and hold on to it. He wrote about that. People say, I didn't have to fight the battle in New Orleans. The British were going to hold New Orleans. They weren't going to let us grow past the Mississippi. They feared that thing called democracy. They hated the freedom. They hated the idea of elections. It's not good if you're a king or a queen. But the thing is, it all worked. People kept coming. We kept growing. And our enemy became our ally in Britain. Up until yesterday, when the president was tweeting with Theresa May.
Well, things change over the course of time, but perhaps we can patch things over. Really, an amazing military leader, Andrew Jackson, and an amazing political leader as he evolved. We're speaking with Brian Kilmeade. He is the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. What did this battle do for Andrew Jackson's stature and image in the country?
Great question. He became the most famous man in America. And everyone, when he left the Hermitage, he was famous locally. When he came back, he was a national hero. And when word came back to Washington that we had won the war, we had won the battle, at the same time knocking on the door with these people from the Hartford Convention, the northern states, saying, we'd like to secede. And they said, well, you're not allowed to secede. We won't hear of it. And by the way, we just won the war. We just won the battle. The war was a draw. We paid a tremendous price, but we never would be invaded again. And they credited Jackson for overcoming the odds. They wrote songs about him. They wrote books about him. And he decided, I'm going to go run for president. I've already been a congressman, a senator, a lawyer, an attorney general, now a militia general. What is left for me? And at 13, he was orphaned with no one. Instead of being a criminal or a vagrant, like some people, he decided to test the American dream. He said, everyone's going to know my name. And they did. Some hated him. Some loved him. Some still debate him today. A lot of Native Americans don't like him. A lot of historians do. Others say he's got to get off the 20. But he's a consequential president. FDR, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln cited him as their model. And you have President Trump, who has the picture hanging in the Oval Office.
We're speaking with Brian Kilmeade, the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. And as you mentioned, he is a controversial figure today, though that's true of many of the great leaders of his era who were just living in the context of a very different historical time, you know, especially as president. How was he viewed in his own time, especially compared to those that came before him in the White House?
He legitimately won three elections. It was thrown into the House, and John Quincy Adams ended up being the consensus candidate. Then he won the next two pretty easily. What he was is very popular because he didn't go to Washington. He actually went into the people. He was the first ever campaign, the first Democrat, too. And he was the first to go and look at the big banks and say, I don't think you're working for the people. A lot of people have a problem with that. Also, he went to lawmakers, and he would threaten them, and he'd corral them and harangue them. And the same thing Trump does today. So he was the first to really assert the authority of the presidency instead of being a co-equal branch. He said, no, I'm the man. And that's the way he approached things. He also surrounded himself with his family. That aggravated people. They said, wait a second. We got experienced people here. What are you bringing your niece with you? You know, his wife died after the election because of the stress of the election.
Right.
They say she had a heart attack. And he was extremely attached to her, almost Nancy Reagan or Ronald Reagan-like. So he surrounded himself with his family. That bothered him. He also criticized his predecessors. Now, when Trump did that, what's the big deal? Well, when he did that, he was criticizing the founding fathers. So think about the audacity there.
Brian Kilmeade, he is the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Thanks, Derek.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This report is brought to you by Herbalife. Year after year, the National Institute of Health reports, the average American gains about a pound around the holiday season. It may not seem like much, but over the course of a lifetime, around a pound a year can really add up. According to Dr. John Aguinobi, former Assistant Secretary of Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Chief Health and Nutrition Officer for Herbalife Nutrition, creating opportunities to eat healthy foods during the holidays and limiting candy, sugar-sweetened beverages, and fast food can go a long way to living a healthier and happier life. So, to help satisfy sweet tooth cravings with a tasty, nutritious snack option, this holiday season, Herbalife Nutrition introduced Protein Bites, fun-sized, on-the-go treats with 4 grams of protein and no artificial sweeteners. Remember, the holiday season doesn't have to be a detriment to your health goals. With some simple planning and healthy snacks, you can enjoy the holidays and stay on track for the new year. For more information, visit www.herbalife.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're very pleased to have on the program today legendary writer Anne Rice, her son Christopher Rice. Their new book is Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra. Anne and Christopher, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Delighted.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's just get this out of the way right at the beginning. How many Mummy Dearest jokes have you had to put up with talking about this book?
None. You're the first.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, really. I was now that
Mummy
I think about
dearest.
It.
Wow.
Mummy Dearest.
That's cool. Why didn't we think of
maybe
that?
Maybe one blog used it. I think now that I think about it, I think maybe one person. But I think you're the first, Derek.
Well, I am very honored to have a broadcast exclusive on that. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So tell us about this is a sequel to the book The Mummy. What is the plot set up here in Ramses the Damned? This it takes place in 1914 in Edwardian time. What are we looking at?
Well, Ramses is a pharaoh who discovered the elixir of life in ancient times. He drank it, he's immortal, and he's resurrected in 1914 by an archaeologist. He had retreated to his tomb, mourning for his love, Cleopatra. And she's dead when he entombs himself. He's resurrected, and he finds himself in the world of London in 1914. He comes alive in a residence, actually, where all these artifacts have been put, including his mummy. And he wakes up witnessing an attempted murder. He stops it and saves this beautiful young woman, Julie Stratford, from being viciously murdered by her cousin, Henry, and falls in love with her. And she shows him the world of 1914. However, at the heart of that novel, he finds the body of Cleopatra in the Cairo Museum, and he makes the terrible mistake of pouring the elixir of life all over the body. And Cleopatra comes back. It's a disaster. That novel ends with a cliffhanger. They think she's destroyed. We know she's alive. And the new novel opens with Cleopatra searching for Ramses and Julie, and we don't know what her motives are. And we also meet other immortals, particularly an African queen, Bektaten, who once ruled a great African kingdom that's now been swallowed by the jungles of equatorial Africa. And Bektaten is the one who actually discovered the elixir. And she's far more ancient even than Ramses. And we get to do her story and her people. And many things happen. In fact, you know, one of the things Christopher brought to this was a lot of exciting plotting and the garden party.
There's a garden party from hell. Yes, I was like you. There's a garden party
exactly.
from hell.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, that was also in the DNA of the original book. I think I should give Mom some credit. The original book really is an adventurous romantic romp that has its creative inspirations in the works of H. Rider Haggard and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah.
And so it was a natural fit for me to come in on this. And I think, you know, it was a great place for us to start collaborating on a book because the world was already built, and the responsibility was to satisfy those fans of the early book and to also tell a unique and interesting standalone story that continues the universe. And I think what that meant is there was just less for us to argue about. You know, I think if two independent-minded writers are inventing something out of whole cloth, there's a lot more fighting around the table with the notepads than we necessarily had to do on this.
I would find it difficult to go through a long creative process with my mom or my dad or anyone close in my family that I wasn't already used to doing that with. What was the process like for writing Ramses the Damned? What is your relationship on a creative level like?
Well, every collaboration is different. You know, and I think what we figured out is the method that works for us. And we sat down together, hammered out the beats of the story, and then I went off to write a complete draft and brought it back to Mom and gave her the time to really sort of tear it apart. Not tear it apart, but really, you know, it was not meant to be the final book. It was meant to be the first draft. And so it allowed Mom to give a lot of her input and to shape the story, particularly in ways where I had spun off in a tonal direction that maybe wasn't faithful to the world of the first book. And it was really great. And then I went off and wrote another draft, and then Mom did the final pass to make sure it had the atmosphere and the tone and the feel of an Anne Rice novel and throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our ultimate goal was to make sure that nobody could look at the book and say, Anne wrote this chapter and Christopher wrote that chapter. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be a vivid and seamless thing. And based on the early responses, it sounds like it is for most people.
We're speaking with Anne Rice and Christopher Rice. They're the co-authors of Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra. In the 1920s, when the contents of the Egyptian tombs were discovered and made widely known in the West, there were decades of fascination that obviously resound to this day around the culture of that time and place. How do you think that has changed when the nature of what we hear about what comes out of Egypt and the Middle East today is so different?
Well, I that's a really good question. I mean, when I was growing up in the early 40s, we went to the museum to see an entire exhibit in New Orleans of Egyptian artifacts. It was traveling through, and I saw my first mummy in a mummy case when I was just a little girl. And it really was very romantic and mysterious, the whole idea of ancient Egypt. And I grew up reading stories of how Carter had discovered Tutankhamun's tomb, all of that. Today, right now, there are actually great discoveries going on in Egypt, but everybody's mind is on conflict. And we, you know, it's like I wanted to take Christopher when he was a child to Egypt so he could begin his travels of the world in that place, and there was never a safe time to go. We just have had so much conflict, so much strife, we could never make that journey. So I would say today that in many, many quarters, it's still exciting, it's still interesting, people are still bewitched by ancient Egypt, enchanted by it, but a lot of people in the world are not. It's nothing as widely known as it was in the 20s.
You know, in terms of how people see Egypt in relationship to these books, and I think one of the things that was so compelling to me about the universe is that Mom really went and took an old 1950s horror movie trope, and she made, as she had done with vampires, she made the character that is traditionally the monster who just stalks around terrifying white people. She made him the hero, and she made him brilliant and charismatic, and when the shroud came off, he was the center of the story and the soul of the story in a way that nobody had really done with the mummy legend before. And I think that gets to the idea that there is something of enormous value in the history of the ancient world to all of us, as opposed to that sort of, conservative way of seeing it as a corrupting force or something that's going to pollute the West. You know, it really is a sense that this is the seat of great wisdom and great insight, and that these immortal characters, even Cleopatra, as she finds in our version, is reawakened against her will and so has this sort of early monstrous form. She finds her way in this book, I don't want to give too much away, and also becomes a vessel of great wisdom for the people around her, because I think that is sort of the Anne Rice stamp, is what does our world look like, or what does 1914 or 1984 look like through the eyes of someone who has lived forever. And that's the joy of slipping into a book. And I, you know, my job was to contribute to that on this project.
The characters and worlds that you create are always wonderful and always fascinating. Anne Rice and Christopher Rice, they're the authors of Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra. Thank you so much for writing this, and thank you for being with us on Now It's the News.
Thanks for having us.
It's really been a pleasure.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Get to the chopper!
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Today is just day two of this incident, and it's possible that we could be dealing with the lilac fire and the high winds for some time to come.
The lilac fire in San Diego County continues to rage, and there's no end in sight. San Diego County Supervisor Diane Jacobs says the winds are fueling the fire, and if they pick back up later today and over the weekend, it could spell disaster. A CAL FIRE spokesperson says the Santa Ana wind should be considered a natural disaster.
As we know, when a tornado hits the Midwest, there's no stopping it. When a hurricane hits the East Coast, there's no stopping it. When the Santa Ana winds come in, there's no stopping them.
President Trump is congratulating new Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Nielsen came to the White House today for a swearing-in ceremony. The president said Nielsen will help curb illegal immigration while boosting border security. Nielsen replaces John Kelly, who is now the White House Chief of Staff. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-15. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair, and today we have with us Alex Palmer. He's the author of the new Weirdopedia, the ultimate book of surprising, strange, and incredibly bizarre facts about supposedly ordinary things. Alex, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Derek.
So, with so much weird stuff going on in the news these days, why did you feel compelled to compile this additional weird compendium of things?
I know, right? We can just look at the headlines, and that's probably enough weirdness for our week.
And we document many of them here on Now It's the News.
I understand that. Yeah. So, with this book, it was. I've always kind of liked these sort of learning sort of surprising things about. Maybe it's a counterintuitive fact about something you think you know or just something you use every day and then you realize there's some other aspect to it or a history to it that you didn't know. And I've always sort of liked that. But, you know, sort of you'd be at like a party or something and, a friend will tell you, it's impossible to tickle yourself. You have no idea. You try it and then realize it actually is. Or, deer actually kill more people each year than airplane crashes. Sort of some
wow.
odd things like that. Yeah, and so sort of being interested in those, I decided it would be really fun to sort of have it in a kind of organized, almost sort of bizarro encyclopedia where you could, go into any letter or go into a different subject and find some odd facts that are, organized in sort of a fun way that you could sort of just pick it up and open it up to any page and find something interesting and surprising.
Well, I know there's still a huge demand for it because my 12-year-old daughter is constantly checking out of the library, the books of strange facts or the Guinness Book of World Records or things
right.
like that. And this seems very much in that same line. I do want to go back to what you just mentioned, though, in terms of the deer killing people. Do we need to be on the alert for a deer crime wave, or is that automobile
yeah.
accidents, or how does that work?
Yeah, we better watch out. They might be deer on the loose everywhere. it's actually from primarily automobile accidents.
Okay.
There was 100 some, and then with deer, they kill several hundred people each year. That when you actually look at the statistics, it's kind of surprising. Something I don't think a lot of people are walking around with fears of deer coming at them, but airplanes certainly a lot more scary, even if less threatening.
So, you know, Bambi, you know, not so calm, not so gentle after all, beware.
Absolutely. Watch out for it.
We're speaking with Alex Palmer, the author of Weirdopedia. Alex, to you, what was the most fascinating weird fact? I know there must be a plethora of them as contained in this book, but what stood out to you the most in the process of researching this?
Yeah, well, you know, so it was kind of a mix of different facts. Some of them I liked because they really were useful in my own life, things that I would have no idea about, something like, you know, toothpaste can remove ink stains from clothes. It's something I never knew, and then you tried it, and you're like, oh, that's great. That really worked. And then there's things that are just sort of, you know, handy like that, or that make you think about things a little differently. Like, apparently they've actually done studies in the first, you go into a public restroom, and the first bathroom, the first stall, is actually the one least likely to be used. It's also going to have the least amount of, bacteria and worries about that. So that's the, you know, you just start, like, using that one. Instead.
Now, have they done psychological studies as to why people tend to avoid the first stall in the bathroom?
That's a great question. That's probably a whole other study. I don't know if they've done any follow-up.
Bathroom
OPD. I think that would be, absolutely, that'll be the sequel. that's great. But I think the one that really kind of stood out as sort of a really kind of shocking or strange fact was this, I found out about this, wasp, this Costa Rican wasp that would actually, plants its eggs in this orb spider, and then they end up sort of, it paralyzes the spider, and then when it 2 weeks later, these things sort of take control of the spider and turn into this sort of zombie that ends up creating a kind of bizarre web that they end up using as their own nest. So, and then they take out the spider. So it was sort of a shocking to sort of hear that Mother Nature could be, you know, quite so, have such a dark sense of humor, I guess, and be so sort of bleak.
And for those who put off the ideas of zombie attacks as merely a figment of the imagination or science fiction, it does actually take place, apparently.
Yeah, and that's sort of some of the things that kind of doing this research, you sort of discover some of the things that we sort of imagine, these, you know, fantasy ideas. If you go, you know, a little further into the animal kingdom, some of these are actually happening.
We're speaking with Alex Palmer. He's the author of Weirdopedia, the ultimate book of surprising, strange, and incredibly bizarre facts about supposedly ordinary things. How on earth did you get into collecting facts like this? What inspired you? What's your background on this?
Yeah, you know, I'm a journalist. I primarily write like business and travel writing and things like that. But as I've been doing that, I've always sort of had an interest in kind of more of a, you know, quirky history and looking at sort of behind the scenes of these subjects that I'm writing about. And a lot of these times, these things can't sort of become part of the story. You have to dig a little, you know, you don't have the opportunity to sort of publish these. And so we started sort of collecting them and had, kind of a handful of interesting facts and ideas. And then it sort of developed into kind of a broader, let's you know, look at a number of different subjects. So with the book, we were able to have, you know, an entire chapter on food and drink and just looking at those. A whole chapter on, you know, work and odd things, you know, facts about taking breaks and, you know, the value of, like, napping and how that actually, folks who nap during a day actually have a 37% lower chance of having a heart attack. So kind of odd things like that. And it ends up, it was a sort of an opportunity to just kind of put it all into a compendium where you can have this sort of convenient bathroom reader that just open to you know, any page, bring it to a party or, you know, have something sort of handy. And then also looks at sort of, you know, the natural world with, as I mentioned, sort of the insects, and then there's also, you know, a whole thing on animals and just nature in general. And sort of able to just sort of cover a broad range. But the research part of it was definitely kind of a, you know, sort of a multi-pronged approach of just, as I would, you know, I would go to the library, go to our, you know, New York Public Library and dig into the stacks there on it. If I knew a specific topic I wanted to learn a little bit more about, say, like, you know, unusual types of apples. There's hundreds of different types, you know, like Granny Smith and that sort of thing. But there's a couple, you know, even more, you know, bizarre ones. There's a whole list in the book of some of these names. So something, you know, sort of very specific like that. Other times it would be just seeing the headlines of, you know, of the New York Times, and something would sort of catch your eye. And, you know, pulling some specific fact out of that that really stood out and being able to turn that into kind of a standalone kind of eyebrow raiser.
Well, one of the main focuses here on Now It's the News is politics, voting law. Are there any strange facts that stand out to you in any of those subjects, areas of human endeavor in particular?
Yeah, well, one of the facts in the book is that I think it was since 1900 they've tracked and these political scientists have determined that it was always the most optimistic candidate that won the presidency.
Wow.
So it was pretty consistent through the whole history. So how exactly they decided that, you have to kind of like determine who qualified for the most optimistic. You probably have to dig into the research a little bit more. But that one stands out as far as a political sort of fact.
The more negative candidate didn't tend to fare as well, in other words.
No, yeah, at least, yeah, according to these political scientists, no.
We've been speaking with Alex Palmer, the author of Weirdopedia, the ultimate book of surprising, strange, and incredibly bizarre facts about supposedly ordinary things.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Go to nowitsthenews.com.
This is a chopper!
More coming up next. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by the Salvation Army. 2017 marks the Salvation Army's 127th Red Kettle Campaign, which raises money for families and individuals in need. This year, the Salvation Army is encouraging everyone to join the fight for good, to help the hungry, the homeless, and the hopeless. For more than two decades, the Dallas Cowboys have partnered with the Salvation Army to kick off the Red Kettle Campaign and have helped raise nearly $2.2 billion. Commissioner David Hudson, National Commander of the Salvation Army.
As Christmas approaches, we see challenges facing those hit with hardship. Now, more than ever, other Americans need our help. Recent natural disasters have displaced thousands of people who don't know where they can find a holiday meal or a warm bed, or if they'll have one at all. This holiday season, we urge every American to adopt a cause that they are passionate about, whether it be hunger, shelter, or Christmas assistance, and help fill the Salvation Army's red kettles across the country.
To join the fight for good, visit redkettlereason.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber.
As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. I have in front of me a bright yellow book, the title of which is Encyclopedia Paranoica. It has a bright red exclamation point. It has been written by Henry Beard and Christopher Cerf, who we have on the line with us here. It is subtitled The Indispensable Guide to Everyone and Everything You Should Be Afraid of or Worried About. Christopher Cerf, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Derek.
My first question to you is, what's that? What's all around me? What should I be afraid of? What's going
just
on?
Just about everything, unfortunately. And many things that you thought were safe, are not. And many things that you knew were dangerous, we tell you about, too.
What do you think I should be afraid of the most right now in this moment, sitting here as I am talking to you? I mean, are there germs on the microphone?
Yes, there are germs on the microphone. Are you the only person who used that microphone?
I'm afraid I'm not, no.
And, of course, you can't wash the microphone to disinfect it because it's electronic, and that would be bad for it.
That's right.
So there's really no way out there. Probably you have a coffee mug there or something like that. And
yeah.
I don't know whether how often you take that home and clean it out with disinfectant.
And as we speak, I'm looking out the window. It's windy. It's threatening rain. There might be a storm, possibly a hurricane. I'm not sure. There's just one thing after another. How do we deal with this? How does your book help us process this? Is it just basically a warning book? Should we run around in circles? What's the best solution here? Pulling our hair out, which direction do we go?
Well, unfortunately, I think what you'll find if you check out all the cross-references in our book is that there really is no way out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether we're really providing a service there for, but there are small things you can do to avoid one hazard or another. For example, autumn leaves. People have been going out to look at autumn leaves over the last few weeks. They shouldn't have done that because, your car, if you drove to see them, has a catalytic converter that's very hot and can set the leaves on fire when you drive over them. So if we saved a few people's lives because they read that entry, they're probably going to end up dying from some other horrible thing, but We try to help you at least in the short run. That's our goal.
Well, much appreciated. We're speaking with Christopher Cerf, the co-author of Encyclopedia Paranoica. And I'll just mention at this point that it was just this last weekend in my part of the world that virtually all the leaves fell off the trees. So catalytic converters, it's got to be very dangerous, even having driven in this morning to the studio.
Well, it was, but if you had taken the train, many trained people will tell you, and of course we dutifully report this in the Encyclopedia Paranoica, that leaves on the rails make for very slippery rails and cause frequent derailments. So, staying at home is probably the best idea, but of course home is not really a safe place either.
It's a very dangerous place. A couple of years back I broke my leg, climbing up on a ladder right outside.
Well, that of course, that goes without saying, but just simple things like, if you have, a satchel, or a woman has a purse and they put it on the ground and then they bring it into the house and put it on the kitchen counter, that's bringing all kinds of germs onto the counter that then gets onto your food. And of course, you can't do anything about that. You can't even wash your hands.
No, you can't because
there's a woman that we quote. Everything in our book is quoted from experts, by the way. We didn't make any of this up.
Right.
But there is an expert who says that washing your hands too frequently causes little cracks to form in your skin, and then bacteria get into those cracks, so you're damned if you wash your hands, and you're damned if you don't.
Christopher Cerf, are we allowed to enjoy life at all, or is that in itself a dangerous activity, trying to enjoy life and
and pretending like everything around us at any moment mightn't possibly kill us.
Well, I suppose you could blind yourself if you want, Derek, and I'm sorry that blind is a word I shouldn't use. It's offensive to many people, but you can, I guess, try to get through life that way. But, of course, if you drink too much or do various other things that you think are enjoyable, they themselves may be dangerous. But, of course, the asteroid Apophis is headed toward the Earth anyway and is probably or could very well crack into it in a few years. That's true. If the Mayan calendars end doesn't occur first on December 21st.
Well, let's address that because we are coming up on the end of the Mayan calendar. Could that be the paranoid advent that trumps all the other paranoid instances that you outline in your book, and is that why you came out with the book when you did?
Totally why we came out, because obviously if all the other warnings are useless after December 21st, if that's the end, but we wanted to get the book there to you so that you could fail to enjoy the month in between, you know. But, of course, many people are now kind of hedging their bet and saying that the Mayan calendar did not account for leap years. So even if we get by December 21st, we're not out of the woods with that one yet.
So we may have a couple of additional years of paranoia, even if the Mayan calendar is incorrect.
Oh, for sure. And then there's Comet Catalina, which is on a collision course with the Earth quite possibly also. But that's coming after Apophis, so you don't have to worry about Catalina until Apophis goes by safely, if it does.
Well, that's a relief. We're speaking with Christopher Cerf, the co-author of Encyclopedia Paranoica. I'm a parent. Christopher, what paranoia is it most important that I engage in on behalf of my children?
Well, I mean, the list is very, very long, Derek, but one thing that immediately occurs to me at the holiday season, a couple of things. One is that laughing or crying while eating is a choking hazard.
Right.
So that's true for adults, too, but you need to teach your children never to laugh or cry while they're eating. And I recommend that you make a point of saying nothing really funny or anything really sad those times.
I'm on the verge of choking right now, just in reaction to your response.
Of course, yes. And depression, isn't good for your health either. So you have to be careful. Mall Santas. I must warn you about Santas, for sure.
Right.
There's a man named Nathan Grills who wrote an article in the British Medical Journal pointing out the danger that mall Santas are disease carriers. Of course, because little Johnny sits on the knee of Santa and he coughs into the beard, and then other kids sit on the lap and, you know, there you go.
Santa, by his very nature, is basically a disease vector.
He is a disease vector. Right. That is well put. And I see that you've been studying your Encyclopedia Paranoica.
Absolutely.
Also, the acting surgeon general a few years ago warned about Santa's girth. He thought he was setting a very bad example, you know, to overweight kids, and that he should be portrayed as skinny and well, you know, really in good shape. I haven't noticed that trend going forward too well yet, but we can always hope.
That's true. Well, of course, if Santa were to exercise adequately, he might overdo it and potentially cause some sports injury to himself.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
My gosh, you know a lot about this already. Exercise is one of the many things, almost everything in the book, that where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you don't get enough exercise, of course, you know, you risk all kinds of things like heart attacks and obesity and all.
Right.
But, of course, if you haven't gotten exercise and then you plunge into it, that very strenuous work that you're doing on top of having done nothing is even more dangerous than just sitting there. But sitting is bad, too.
In fact, there
was a study done that shows that if you sit for many hours, your life is shortened.
It's true.
So the people that did that study recommend that you stand up even at work and that you get a stand-up desk. But, of course, people have discovered that productivity goes way down when you're standing up all day. It's not a very good way to concentrate and comfortably work on your computer, though somebody has invented a stationary bicycle that's part of your desk.
Right.
So you can sit there and exercise while you're while you're writing, but of course that brings you back to that whole danger of overdoing it and dying of a heart attack. I'm so sorry to have to tell your listeners all these terribly scary things.
Christopher, sir, co-author of Encyclopedia Paranoica, how do we live?
Well, I'm not sure we do. that's the tragic thing.
That's true. We're all cruising towards death eventually here. So really, yours is kind of a book, essentially, in its root, filled with a fair amount of existential angst here.
Oh, well, you bet.
I've referred to it and spent many nights late into the night, unable to sleep, reading Encyclopedia Paranoica. Its author or co-author, Christopher Cerf, has been with us today. Christopher, thank you so much. I think
so too. Thank you, Derek.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. Go to nowitsthenews.com for more information or follow me at Now It's the News. Until next week, I'm Derek Blair.
When I get to about 3/4,
when I get down to the bottom,
a couple more scoops,
it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free. This week at Dynavite.com.
If it's working, don't quit. Dynovite.com.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Today is just day 2 of this incident, and it's possible that we could be dealing with the lilac fire and the high winds for some time to come.
The lilac fire in San Diego County continues to rage, and there's no end in sight. San Diego.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Today is just day 2 of this incident, and it's possible that we could be dealing with the lilac fire and the high winds for some time to come.
The lilac fire in San Diego County continues to rage, and there's no end in sight. San Diego County Supervisor Diane Jacobs says the winds are fueling the fire, and if they pick back up later today and over the weekend, it could spell disaster. A CAL FIRE spokesperson says the Santa Ana wind should be considered a natural disaster.
As we know, when a tornado hits the Midwest, there's no stopping it. When a hurricane hits the East Coast, there's no stopping it. When the Santa Ana winds come in, there's no stopping them.
President Trump is congratulating new Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Nielsen came to the White House today for a swearing-in ceremony. The president said Nielsen will help curb illegal immigration while boosting border security. Nielsen replaces John Kelly, who is now the White House Chief of Staff. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Long Island is getting ready for its first snow. Councilman Anthony Desposito says the town of Hempstead is putting plows on trucks and loading them with salt and ice-melting brine in preparation.
Our goal is to really get our trucks out on the street as early as possible if the temperatures allow.
Desposito says it's all in an effort to keep the roads safe, especially during one of the busiest holiday shopping weekends. Long Island could get anywhere from 3 to 6 inches of snow on Saturday. One of Roy Moore's accusers now admits to forging part of a high school yearbook inscription that she offered as proof that Moore knew her. Beverly Young Nelson says that Moore wrote most of the message and signed the yearbook when she was 16. Roy Moore denies.